All right, ladies and gentlemen, and strength coaches everywhere, welcome back to the Conjugate Chats. Before we start getting into the episode with our fantastic guests, we have a couple ad reads to get through. The first one is the Working Dog Coffee. So there's so many people I know mindlessly consume coffee through disturbing products on the market. The solution we have is offering an organic coffee product that doesn't have any of the nasty side effects as a poorly regulated energy drink. The only products you'll see on the label are 100%, yes, 100% organic coffee with organic flavoring. We have two flavors, the mild and the burner, are a great mix of a high caffeine product and a classic Colombian favorite blend for the coffee lovers. You can go to the website and use the code CHATS for 15% off, and every bag you buy will help support Working Dog charities around the country. Now, let's get into our other sponsor, which is Team Builder. Team Builder is the software for performance coaches around the world. Their powerhouse platform provides coaches with an elevated experience when it comes to program development, data tracking, and staying connected with athletes and clients. Team Builder is full of tools that coaches need, like multiple max training methods, 16-plus reports, evaluation testing, and goal setting, to name a few. Coaches also have access to consults with Team Builder's in-house sports scientists to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with the promo code CONJUGATE to receive a 30-day free trial as well as a 52-week football workout program. And with that in mind, let's jump into the episode.
Heavyweights don't hurt athletes. Heavyweights with poor technique hurts athletes. If you want to run fast, you got to run fast. If we're doing max velocity, you can't halfway do it. You got to go.
And welcome back to another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Today we got on Seth McFerrin over in, you're in Middle Tennessee, correct?
Yeah, where I'm at, in Gallatin, Sumner County.
Gotcha, man. So give the listeners a brief synopsis about you, your journey into strength conditioning, and kind of where you're at right now.
Okay, well, so I'm from Middle Tennessee. I went to Good Pasture Christian School. Played baseball and football there, and was lucky enough to go play at Campbellsville University in high school in the middle of Kentucky. When I got there, I knew I wanted to be involved in sports somehow, but I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. Like originally, I wanted to be like an athletic trainer. Didn't know what a strength coach was. Had a pretty unconventional route to get to be a strength coach. But I quickly realized that I would probably want to go more the PE route and coach ball. And then I played there 4 years, got to coach there 1 year, got to coach the running backs and help out in the weight room. And the weight room's always been a passion of mine. When we were in middle school, we had our last game in middle school, my seventh grade year. The next day, 6 a.m., we were learning how to lift. And I thought that was awesome. And ever since then, I've had the bug for that. And that was just our head coach taking us in. We went to Good Pasture K-12. So our head high school football coach was also the middle school coach. So you got to learn the system, got to learn how we were going to train from seventh grade on. And I think that was a huge advantage for us. And I didn't realize at the time how awesome our weight room was. Coach Martin spent time with Coach Epley at Nebraska. We had like a little mini Nebraska style hammer strength machines, platforms with kilo plates, big squat racks, big bench rack, big jammer presses. We had some awesome stuff that I didn't realize at the time that not everybody had. It was It was really cool to look back and see all the awesome stuff that we got to use early on. But anyways, realized I didn't want to be an athletic trainer, but I wanted to do something with football. So I wanted to coach football, realized that there was a need for one of the coaches got around the weight room. In high school, our head coach made the workouts. Even in college, like, we had different coaches almost every year making the workouts. But then I realized, like, there's a strength coach. Like, that is a job. And I knew that I was going to be interested in that. So I started off at East Hickman High School, was there for a semester, went to Beach High School, quickly realized I wanted to be involved in the weight room. Coach Crabtree was nice enough to put me in charge. And then he said, I'd like for you to get certified. I was like, okay, awesome. What's that mean? So he kind of showed me the NSCA, CSCS stuff. And I was a little overwhelmed, but I thought, you know, this is something I think I can do. So I was fortunate enough that football paid for my study guides, paid for my tests, got certified, which for what it's worth, I think it is worth being certified, but I know that doesn't make you a good coach or not. But it did help me out a bunch early on. So that's kind of how I got to the strength conditioning side in high school.
Gotcha, man. That's a kind of, I don't want to say an unconventional route, because I think that's where a lot of our high school coaches are starting to come from. You know, we have interest in the weight room. We were probably a collegiate athlete or a really good high school athlete at the time. And then we fall into basically that kinesiology exercise science program. We learn the basic, the X's and O's. And then we kind of fall into, you know, high school realm where we're coaching like volleyball or softball or in this case, football. And you're like, okay, there's a need for someone to be in the weight room and doing things properly. And you probably had the same thought I had. You know, I worked as an assistant coach for a long, long time, about 4 or 5 years. And my first thought was, this could be done a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, put that into your hands and you start to learn like periodization, you learn programming, you learn, you know, what works and logistics in the weight room. And it becomes fun. It's almost like a little bit addicting as well.
It's 100% addictive. Yeah, for sure. Think about it all the time, for sure.
And it becomes like, it starts being like ingrained into you. Like you start to think about it like continuously. Like I'll sit at home and I'll think about like, well, we need to sit, you know, switch up this program. Like we go from maybe a variation of an RDL or, you know, reverse hypers or stuff like that. I just think in the back of my mind, like, man, I need to program that. That sounds awesome. You know, whatnot. It becomes almost addicting.
Yeah. Think about it all the time. Can't help it. And and when you, like, you're studying it, it's a priority in your life. It's not the most important priority, but it is something that you are obviously very interested in, and it makes it easy to study and to learn. And with the information that's out now, you know, our coaches talk about writing letters to programs and colleges and teams and trying to get their programs to learn off of them. Right now, with what we got right now, you can get it instantly. I mean, you see a coach working on X or Instagram or whatever, and you shoot them a message, and it's just like a ball coach likes to talk ball, strength coach likes to talk, you know, strength, strength conditioning. So it's the information right now that you can get. You're always learning. It's been really good.
That's one thing I love about this field. One, that like you continuously learn everything. Like there's something to learn in any aspect. You know, I'm writing about it right now. Like we're almost like Swiss Army knives. A jack of all trades, a master of none. Like we learn, you have to learn so much of like, you had to learn a little about a lot. And you get to the point to where you're like, I know almost a lot about a lot. And there's still one little aspect you're like, God, I, you know, nutrition could be that one thing, or, you know, sports science, or, you know, whatever. We played many hats and many roles, man. It's really fun to kind of like dig deep into it, man.
I completely agree. Like when I first got into it, it was all like sets and reps, percentages. Then I kind of got the hang of that. And then I was like, I really need to work more on my speed work. So I'd be studying that. Recently been getting into some type of active recovery stuff that I've never been good at. But I've been incorporating it lately, and we're just trying to make sure we're checking all the boxes, man. And it's fun. If you're a strength coach and you're not questioning yourself of what you can do better, you're probably it's not good to be content, I don't feel like. So always trying to question that.
I feel like we tell our athletes too, like, you should be comfortable being uncomfortable,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
You should reach outside of your comfort zones. And I think a lot of coaches, at times we can kind of get really comfortable in what we're doing. Like, we've been running this program, it's been working, everything like that. That's great. But there's still more to be learned. There's still more to, out there, especially with social media nowadays. It's crazy that you can just DM someone and be like, hey, you want to come on a podcast? And then you learn, the person, then you get to learn everything about them, and then you get to chop it up with, a few people that are nearby. And I mean, it's awesome, man. The power of social media is just wonderful, especially for our field.
Yes, for so like when you think about social media, for the most part, you probably think about the negatives, especially for like younger kids and stuff. But for strength and conditioning, it's been great. I wasn't really a social media guy. I'm not saying I am now, but like a few years ago, I started like posting a few of our things. The first time I ever saw anybody like posting stuff was like Paul Jackson when he was at Ensworth and he was working with some guys from the Titans, and I was like, well, that's cool, and I started to put some stuff out there, and then I ended up finding like there's so much stuff, like especially on like X, like you can find that coaches are putting out there that you can learn from. And like I study a lot of those dudes, like Joe Garacio, like Coach Garacio, the stuff that he puts out. It might be a 2 minute clip, but I'm gonna watch it 10 times and see like why is he doing this? I'll even look back at other clips and like, how is the progression of this? And does it make sense for us? Or just get like an idea of something. There's just so much good stuff from every single level of strength conditioning out there. And if you're a coach, you just got to go look for it. And even if you get a little bit of something, that you can use, you got something good.
Absolutely. So let's kind of change gears here. So let's talk about your like training philosophy. What does that look like at your facility? How did you develop your training philosophy and everything like that?
Okay, our training philosophy, I like to think that we have a good bit of old school, new school. I mean, for the most part, we're gonna snatch, clean jerk, full squat, and press. And then we'll get our accessory work. And then we'll get a little bit more creative with our turf work and our field work, with our messing balls, with our jumps, our plyometrics, and all that good stuff. But for our philosophy, what we try to do is, number one, is do our best to prevent injury or injury reduction. Like, this is the most important thing for the kids. Then we're going to try to get them as strong, as powerful as possible, and fast as possible. And the book that I'm reading right now is The System, and that's what kind of their first three big points were. So I really try to adopt that. When you look at our program, I don't have like an annual program. It changes all the time. I'm sure most people do that as well. They don't just follow the cookie cutter program that you made last year. Right now it's got a little bit of a tier system in it. Coach House, Joe Ken, his that was like the first strength conditioning book I got, and it was incredible. Like I gave it to another kid that I coached that wants to be a strength coach. And then I recently just asked for it back. I was like, I'm gonna have to get that back because I want to look at that a little bit more, because he has so much in that book, like programming wise, periodization, and different ideas of how to incorporate that for the athletes. So it's kind of a tier system. I stole a lot of it from Tommy Moffitt. I got to meet him a couple years ago when Coach Buttram had a clinic in Springfield. Got to meet him. He present. I don't know if you've ever seen him present, but he goes off. He does a great job. And then we had a strength clinic at our school last year through William Strength, who did our weight room, did our indoor facility, which they did a great job. Like we're still like this is only our second year being a school, but we got to have that strength clinic. I got to get two of the speakers, and they brought like five more. And asked Coach Moffitt, was the first guy I asked, and luckily he gave me a call, and we talked for a little bit, and he came by and he talked, and I think they gave him like an hour, and he went about three, but it was awesome. It was all good stuff. And his general layout for the offseason is kind of how what we adopted. And then another guy that I got to bring in, his daughter goes to Liberty Creek High School, Coach Horgan, who was just at Vanderbilt. He's been at Clemson, been with the Chiefs. He's been around. He knows his stuff, and that's kind of like a mentor to me too. So if I ever got questions of what we need to do, what we need to do better, what we're missing out on, I'll reach out to him, and he's always there to talk strength conditioning. But our main philosophy is we're going to get you, we're going to do our best to prevent injury, get you strong and powerful as possible. And we're going to do that through for the strength. We're going to use force production, which can be our squats, our presses, and our pulls, and then our rate of force development, speed, strength, speed. And that's mainly going to come from our Olympic lifts. At least that's the idea.
Awesome, man. Let's kind of peel back a little bit, because you said this was, what, your second year at being in school or being a school?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Okay. I was at Beach High School previously. Great school, great program. And then ended up going to the new school in Sumner County, which is Liberty Creek High School, which is where I'm at now. And we started, so we're about 2 years in now. When we first started, we had a bunch of freshmen that just got done playing eighth grade ball, and then a few transfers from other schools. So we're starting from rock bottom, which was it's been awesome starting something like that. But at the same time, it was so difficult to get the ball rolling. But they bought in pretty quick, to be honest with you. I thought it was gonna be more of a process, but right now they're bought in pretty good. Before the season started, nothing was ready at the school. Like the school was not ready until like the first day. So when it came to like our training and stuff, we were lucky enough to have a connection at Hendersonville CrossFit, which is an awesome gym. They got like eight racks, like standalone racks, and then a bunch of open space, and we had space and time. So that's good. And where we started was the same way that we start with our eighth graders. I can talk about that too after this, but pretty much trying to teach these kids how to move. We use a similar, like for our warm up, like a block zero that Coach House is created. And then kind of like a Parisi speed school warm up. And then we would teach them our main lifts. And that's kind of what we did with the eighth graders. And we're just trying to teach them like the expectations of what we want, but also we have to have a realistic standards as well. But they bought in and they do a great job. So we had to start, we started practicing at an elementary school, before we could get to our facility in our fields. And that was something else. You know, we're practicing out there by the outdoor basketball court and the slides and the swing set, trying to get something done. And then we go into a classroom that have seats that are for first graders, trying to get these kids to sit down and watch film. And it was quite the experience, you know. Made you like think, you know, what'd you sign up for? But the payoffs have been incredible. And it's been fun starting something from nothing.
Yeah, and I kind of experienced in the same way here, because the school that I'm at, their goals were, we want a strength coach, and then we, you know, down the road, make this a full-time position to where, you know, someone like us can come in, lead, and, you know, direct the program as fitted. And I think I tweeted out about a couple of days ago of like, starting a strength program is not easy. Like, it is commitment to the bone. And I guess people just don't realize that. They're like, oh, you just work out. It's like, no, like there's so much more layers to that than just go lift. You know, I feel like you understand that, you know, basically starting from scratch like that. That's yeah. There's so much commitment to it, man.
Yeah. We starting from nothing is definitely difficult. And you have to be. It's hard, but you got to be consistent, and you got to create that standard and that give realistic expectations, and then continue to make them better. But like I said, it's been very fulfilling, extremely, extremely fun. But it is work for sure.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your programming. side of it. So you get eighth grader. Let's just say, are y'all private? Let me back up. Are y'all private school?
So no, we are a public school. So when I talked about the eighth graders, so when we get into spring, we are lucky enough in Sumner County to get our eighth graders that are feeding from our middle school to come and start to like train with us a little bit, like twice a week. So we take the eighth graders, and they've had no experience in the weight room. What we mainly do is we teach them the warm up. The warm up, you know, we got about an hour each time we get them. The warm up could take 45 minutes trying to get them to figure that out. So we do like simple cars. After that, we go into like some calisthenics, teach them how to squat, teach them how to lunge, like reverse lunge, lateral lunge, push ups. We do our eyes wise, T's, W's for the upper back and the shoulders, and teach them how to do push ups the right way. And we go to teach them the athletic position, teach them how to hinge, and we do some extensive plyos, intensive plyos, how to jump, how to land. And by that time, you know, 45 minutes have gone by, the first couple of workouts, and you know, now it's time to lift. And they thought that was the workout. So when we go to the lift, I take a little bit of maybe a different approach than a lot of coaches do. I'm not saying it's the right one, but it's been good for us. But they're going to learn to front squat and bench and do a clean variation day one. We get them split up. We'll get them into groups of three at station one and two. So station one, we'll front squat, and we have some squat wedges. And I make them use the squat wedges those first probably 2 weeks. And we'll have one guy doing a pull. Maybe it's a band pull apart. One guy resting, another guy front squat. And they go through the first 2 to 4 workouts. It's probably getting 3 sets of 5. And then bench, teach them how to bench, teach them how to spot. And then the third guy will be doing kettlebell RDLs. In that third station, I'll be running, and we work a clean progression, and we try to do similar to like a top down approach. So I teach them the front rack, and I get them to about a quarter to a half squat, and we do an ISO there. We hold it. So we're trying to learn how, like, where we want to catch the bar. That's the position we want to catch. After that, we do what we call shrug drill. So I get them to stand tall, and I'll say big chest ass forward. And then I'll say ready. They just bend the knees to like the power position. Set, they hinge the hips. So now they're in the hang position, mid thigh to top of the knee. And then I'll say shrug. They jump shrug. And we'll do that for 2 or 3 sets for 3 to 5 reps. After that, we get to cleaning on command. And the first time that I actually saw this was early on. I was just talking about it. Coach House's tier system book. Talking about teaching on command. And I remember reading that and thinking, I don't think you can ever do that. And then later on, saw Brett Huth doing it on X. He's at Texas State now. He does a great job with them. But we teach the clean on command. So it's ready, same thing, bend the knees, power position, set, load the hips, and then I'll say clean. And then they'll stick the clean and hold it and then I'll fix their feet or their elbows or whatever's wrong. And everybody has to hold that catch position. So I tell them to reset. And we always just do sets of three there. And we try to get 3 to 4 sets of those, 3 of those. And that's just how we teach it. And we'll do that for a couple of weeks. And then the next week, we'll still do our clean warm up, which is the ISO, the shrug, and then the clean on command. And then I let them hang clean after that. And we're doing the same workout twice a week. So they're going to get better at it. They're not going to have a choice. They're going to get better at it. After that, we'll do like a tempo off the floor, like pushing the ground away slow until we get above the knees, and then power clean from the floor. And then once they're confident enough at that, we'll do our clean warm up, and then we'll power clean from the floor. And then we go from, instead of doing the same workout twice a week, we'll do that workout still with the front squats, the bench, the RDLs, the pulls, the cleans on day one. And day two, we'll do, instead of doing our, we call it a spot warm-up, get to your spot and do your warm-up, we'll go to more of a dynamic warm-up. And then I'll get everybody on a barbell, and we'll do our clean progression, the power clean, and then we'll do, like we call it the Wolf circuit. It's like the Husker circuit, the Nebraska late 90s, early 2000s, where it's mainly going to be three sets of 10, depending on the exercise, about a minute 20 rest in between. And it's and you do your three sets and you move on. The first time we do it, we do two sets. And then after that, we go three sets. And the Wolf circuit is it's going to be a hex bar carry for 20 yards. And then we go to the next station is going to be cable rows, seated cable rows. The third station, we take like it's called a battle stick from William Strength, but it's kind of like a PVC pipe or a dowel rod. And we go overhead squats with the squat wedges, which I was surprised how well that they adapted to that, because I know that can be tough. But after all those front squats, I guess it carried over a little bit. And we go three sets of 10 there. After that, we'd push the sled for 15 to 20 yards. And then we go to like a landmine press, three sets of 10. Reverse lunges, three sets of 10. Curl and press with a plate. Then we would go to push-ups. And depending on, we'd have progression or regression for the push-ups. So like the lowest form would be the hand release push-up. The next one's military push-up. The third one is going to be like a deficit push-up with med balls, or we can do it weighted as well. So we try to meet them where they are on those. So it's about seven to eight exercises on that Wolf circuit. And that we've had some success with that. That was the first time I've done that this year. And I thought that was good stuff. And we were able to put on a little bit more size, develop a little bit more base. And I think it was good for them to learn all that, those different movements.
You know, I was kind of building some work capacity there with.
Absolutely.
So great job on that. You kind of have like this starting strength approach to your program. Mm-hmm. Three sets of five, you learn clean, you learn push, press, pull, yep. Hinge, all those great movements. That's something that we're kind of adopting. I'll be honest with you. When I got my softball and volleyball girls, that's the first thing we did. Mm-hmm. We did 3x5 of just basic of learn how to clean, learn how to move, learn how to squat, learn how to push, learn how to press. You know, what does training feel like? Because I feel like a lot of athletes don't really get to experience that too much. You know, we are always like kind of like teaching and learning and progressing, but we also had that part of straining. Like our girls, they didn't realize how much of like deadlift, like how heavy a deadlift they could actually pull.
Absolutely.
And you know, they start off with like maybe the tens, or like, oh, this is heavy. And then after a couple of weeks, they're like, this is really not that heavy. It's like, no, it's not. Like, you're a lot stronger than what you realize.
We had a kid this year in our eighth grade workouts. About week three, he was doing the cleans, and he stopped and he was looking at the bar and he was picking it up, and I was like, what's the deal, man? He's like, oh, this is a lighter bar. I was like, no, it's not a lighter bar. You just gotten better at it, and hopefully you got a little bit stronger. Like, you're just a little bit more coordinated. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to work with some of the other sports at our school. I don't get to work with every sport, but I've got hands-on with the with boys soccer, with girls soccer, who just won a state championship this year. So they're all bought in. I mean, they probably would have won state with or without lifting, but it didn't hurt them. And then the girls softball team as well. I know you mentioned softball. It's been great. That first week, you've worked with girls as well. That first week, they're like trying to figure it out and they don't really know what to think about you. And then all of a sudden, like, they're all about it and they want to train and it's fun. You know, the girls are the training girls are just different. They want to please, like they want to do exactly what you ask them to do. I also teach like weights kinesiology is what it's called, but it's just strength conditioning, and it can be athletes, it can be general population kids, whoever. And you know, quickly I learned the girls are always stronger than they think they are, and the guys are not as strong as they think they are.
I always heard like that phrase of like, you got to take weight off for the guys, but put weight on for the exactly. girls. So, but yeah, that was one thing. Like I back in my mind when I was training our softball and volleyball team was like, these girls got to learn how to strain.
Yes.
You know, let's learn our movements. Let's learn how this is supposed to work, you know, everything like that. Learn how to hinge, learn how to squat. But after you kind of learn that for about, you know, about a month, you know, put some strain, like understand, like that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck. if we're doing all this. You know, the cute tens are fine, you know, everything like that. But I think the girls' mentality is like, one, they want to please you because they're like, I want to do well. If you have a good relationship with your girl athletes, they're going to work their asses off for you, like point blank. But at the same time, like, I think they have I think bringing them into that setting gives them like a sense of confidence too. Like they can kind of, you know, stand a little bit taller when they walk.
Absolutely.
Like they're not intimidated by the weights and they're not intimidated by you. They want to do, you know, the best they can. And yeah, they just work harder. They'll work their asses off for you if you have the good relationship with them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the one thing that you spoke about was like the confidence. And you know, I got a good relationship with the girls' soccer coach. Coach Fish does a great job, but he's coming in and like he's sending me pictures of the girls. And they look like they looked, you know, they put on a little bit of a lean mass, and he's telling me about how they're just bullying people off the ball. And he got a scouting report about his team from another coach that another coach sent him. I don't know if that made sense, but just talking about how physical they were, and he was just fired up, and he thinks that the weight room, if anything, gave him confidence to play a little bit more physical, and hopefully it paid off for him.
It's a whole mentality, man. Like when you step in that room, it's like a different mentality for a lot of kids. You know, it's not like walking the English class where you're almost bored walking in. It's like, it's almost like a light switch. You got to turn it on. You know, you can turn it off, but once you step in that room, I mean, you got to turn it on. It's just like hitting the field or the court. And I guess, you know, we kind of mimic that as strength coaches, that kind of feeling of stepping on the court. You know, when you step in the weight room, it's time to turn on, right? It's time to go.
Well, you got to be on. Like, if you're not on, it ain't going to work. And one thing, it's ironic that the other day you tweeted out or X'd out or what it posted. I don't know the right term. But you said something along the lines of that the head coach sets the culture and then the weight room builds the culture. And literally like the day before, I was talking about with another coach, and you stated it a lot better than I did. Cause I was just like, I feel like the weight room is going to, the weight room develops the culture of your team. I feel like how you train, how they take themselves serious as athletes, how into it that they're going to be. Like if you tell them that you're putting 85% on the bar, they're putting 85 on, they're not putting on 75 or whatever, like how intentional they are in the weight room or with the turf work or whatever you're working on. I feel like that makes the culture. And if they're bought in and they're doing what you ask them to do, then only good things are going to come out of that.
You know, I've been in the game long enough to kind of realize what's, you know, what standards look like, what a culture should look like for some, you know, for a successful program. And that can look different ways. But the only thing that I've seen that's continuous is basically the standards that are set out come from our head coach in whatever sport, football, basketball, whatever. You know, the standards that come from, I mean, you have your own standards as a coach, right? Do all your reps, finish all your sets, maximum, you know, intent, whatever. But most of our standards come from our sport coaches. But our job is to enhance those standards, right? If our coach says no flip-flops or Crocs in the weight room, we're there to say no flip-flops, no Crocs in the weight room, like point blank. And I don't know, that was just my thought process of like, I was sitting there trying to come up with standards, you know, for myself as a coach and what I want my athletes to do. And I've been kind of off and on the last couple of years. And I was and that kind of popped up, said, you know, these standards should really come from our head coaches. You know, have your own for sure. Like put up your weights, like basic stuff, but that culture should stem from the head coach. Whatever they want to do with their program, it's their program.
That's why it's so important for the head coach to be in the weight room. They don't have to be there the whole time. Like if they're in there, the kids are gonna work even harder. Like that's just how it is. They're gonna make the call if you're playing or not, and they signed up to play football. They signed up to play baseball. Whatever it is, it's to develop them for their sport. So if their sports coach is there, like you mentioned, you know, Coach A is our head coach at Liberty Creek. He does a great job. And from day one, he's talked about how important the weight room is. And he's talked about how much value that we put into the weight room, how much time we spend in the weight room. We spend so much time in the weight room compared to, you know, that guaranteed 10 games you get in football. So it's obviously important. So you have to be ready, and you have to, like you said, flip that switch. Something that we do after the season, you know, after we finish up and then we kind of get to December and you're kind of in limbo before you get Christmas break and all that good stuff is I get a chance to share like a little PowerPoint with them and we kind of talk philosophy and we talk about the, you know, number one thing is that you don't miss school. You're consistently here. You got to be here. Number one thing is that you're consistent. And if you show up and you're not mentally prepared or physically prepared for what we're going to do, that's the same thing as missing. So it's no good. And it's even worse probably because you're going to be a distraction for what we're trying to accomplish. And then we have a bunch of other stuff on there for our, I wish I had my list with me. If I was at work, I could break that out. But just talking about, you can't lift light weights and be strong. Heavyweights don't hurt athletes. Heavyweights with poor technique hurts athletes. If you want to run fast, you got to run fast. If we're doing max velocity, you can't halfway do it. You got to go. Or acceleration or really whatever we'll work on. I mean, we pretty much have a sprint-based program. So when we're going, we're going. You can't halfway do it. And we talk about just having good feet. If you're a football player with bad feet, you probably can't play. You got to move. And the emphasis that we put on what we do for our training. And in our, so for example, in our off season, what we kind of looks like. And last year was a little bit different. We did like undulating weeks. So we would do like 4 days, 1 week, 3 days the next week. And then the 3 day was kind of like the cheer system, which were really what we're running similar to now. But our 4 day was an explosive strength. And that was really fun. I loved that. So the explosive strength, ideas is Paul Jackson does a great job with that. He's a Utah State. So pretty much we'll do our Olympic lifts on those days and we'll throw medicine balls. We'll sprint, we'll jump on those days. And then we're squatting and benching on the other two or however you want to put it. That was really fun, but we had less time then. Like right now, with where we are, we have time and space, which is awesome. So we'll go, we've been going 3 days a week. And as you know, with high school, you can have snow day, you can have testing, you can get kids pulled out, whatever it is. But we go 3 days a week and we actually have more time than we did when we had the 4 day workout or excuse me, the 4 day weeks. So, day one, we'll go acceleration. We'll do our cars. We'll do some calisthenics. We'll do our speed improvement drills. And it's usually gonna be focused on building for the acceleration day. And then we'll have four stations on the turf. We'll go, for example, it's going to be like a horizontal focus. So we might do like a chest pass with a med ball and broad jumps at one station. The next station we'll do a sled march. The third station we'll do a 10-yard dash. We got dashers, so we're timing everything. They're getting immediate feedback. They're obsessed with that stuff, and it only drives intent. I didn't realize how important that stuff was until we got it. And then usually that fourth station, we call it the activation station. So we're doing our TKEs, face pulls, our plate neck work, like neck flexion with a plate laying on a bench, and then like some type of core work. And then now we're ready to lift. And then how we do the lifts, we'll have four stations set up. With our setup, we got a platform, a full rack and a half rack. And then we set off another station off to the side of our turf. So we don't get the whole weight room all the time because we got all the outdoor sports in there. And they do a great job of working with us, giving us some turf time. And we try to do a great job of having other racks open for other sports coming in. It's been awesome to work with all these other coaches and figure out a way to make everything work. We're still on Monday. Sorry. So we worked on our acceleration stuff and then, there'll be a big clean day. And we do program, certain clean. So we'll start off the first 9 weeks. We had power clean. After that, we did combination of power clean and squat clean. So we'll do our clean day or our clean at station one, station two, we'll do our, like our second tier, squat, which was, the first 9 weeks we went almost, like, I'm blanking on the word now. But we went front squats, and we went 3 weeks of eccentrics, 3 weeks of pauses. Then we actually went to a week with accommodating resistance against some bands, and then we worked on some heavy front squats with no tempo, no pauses, nothing like that. And then we would also be our big we would be our big bench day on Monday as well, which we run like almost a Windler 5-3-1 style. So that first, but it's not 5-3-1 like week one, week two, week three. We went four sets of five, and then on that fifth set we went 5+, and we did that for 3 weeks. The first week was 72.5%, next week 75, next week 77.5. Then we went to 83+, 82.5, 3+, 85, 3+, and then we went 87.5, 90, 92.5 for 1+ on the bench, and then we did our auxiliary or accessory work on that fourth station. Anything that we missed, shoulders, knees, neck, upper back, traps, whatever we were needing that day. And our cleans weren't as linear as that. We would build up 3 weeks, drop back down, build up 3 weeks, drop back down, build up 3 weeks. So that was mainly our day one. And then we went day two, was change of direction. And we spent a little bit more turf time on day two and a little bit less time in the weight room day two. And I try to tell them that day one and day three, which is ideally Monday, Friday, is going to be like our heavy day. And then almost Wednesday or day two is going to be more of a medium day when it comes to the weight room part. So our day two looked like some type of pool. I think we went clean pools 3 weeks, hex bar deads 3 weeks, sumo deads 3 weeks. And that was the first time I really programmed the sumo deads, and I'm a big fan of it. I liked it a lot. I didn't think I was going to like it. Coach Horgan and Coach Moffitt kind of got me on that. It was good for us. And then at station two, which is in that full cage, we went like our jerk variations. So we went push press, we went power jerk, we went split jerk. And the kids love the split jerk. After we taught them how to move their feet where they need to be in the warm up, they picked it up really quick. I was surprised. Then we go on the far end, our half rack. We go chins, and we would do the same thing that we did with the front squats. So we go eccentrics, pauses, and then straight up chins. And that we'd pair that with a hamstring, whether that's like glute ham raise, a bridge, single leg RDL, barbell RDL. And then our accessories off to the side, which we did. Our day two was incline and single leg, something single leg, usually quad dominant. So it would be like a lunge or a split squat, front foot elevated split squat. We actually, when we went to our sumo deads, we actually started doing some lateral lunges and stuff as well. But that was our day two. And then day three is going to be our lighter clean day. And it's going to be a hand clean, two position clean, three position clean, something from blocks. And it's going to be relatively lower volume, but higher bar speed. Actually this year, that's usually what we would do. I'm sorry. This year we actually power snatched. And that was fun. The kids picked that up way better than I thought they ever would. We hammered them kind of right before January with some complexes that were tough, with high pulls, muscle snatch, overhead squat, and they picked it up like that after a few weeks. So the first 9 weeks we went power snatch, heavy back squat day, same thing with the 5-3-1s, and then our secondary bench day, and we would do eccentrics, pauses, and then we went to like accommodating resistance or like the Badger protocol, some type of mix-up, but still a barbell bench, and then our accessories. And that was also our max velocity day, which was going to be vertical throws, vertical jumps, somewhere between a 10 to 20 yard build into a fly, and then we would have some type of activation station where we would just get them ready to lift as well. So that was kind of our first 9 weeks, and then as we got back off of spring break, it changed a little bit, but the same type of recipe, I guess.
Awesome. I like that you incorporate some triphasic training into it, man.
Triphasic,
like,
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I thought that as soon as you said it, I was like, eccentrics, isometric, that's definitely triphasic training. I'm a big component of triphasic training, man. That's how we start off our first 12 weeks, is 6 weeks of eccentrics and 6 weeks of isometrics. for front squats, back squats, bench. I mean, even chin-ups. Like, we went from a team average of, like, having two chin-ups per a guy to, like, 12.
I love because, that. I've been a big fan of that. We started using that last year, and then I quickly realized that that is something that is definitely needs to be incorporated. Like, it's been big for us as well.
Especially, like, what, the triphasic training or the chin-ups?
The triphasic. Chin-ups, yeah, the chin-ups have been good, but that was actually something, where I guess when I was at that beach, we didn't really – we had some, like, pull-downs and stuff, and we had some machines that I didn't do enough chin-ups. Now the triphasic on the chin-ups, on the squats, on the bench, every time we've incorporated it, it's our lifts have gotten better. I mean, they got to have good positioning, and they get stronger.
What we started doing with, like, the triphasic with our chin-ups is, like, for that first 6 weeks, we didn't put any weight on. Usually I put a band on and I'll put, like, a 5 or 10, and sure, some kids get up to the 25s. I think I got one kid right now with a 45 that can probably knock him out. With that isometric period, we'll put the weight on to get the top and hold it, because you got your body weight plus the gravity plus the extra weight being put on you. I guess that, you know, that's part of the reason why, you know, we went from two chin-ups per an athlete to, like, 12. And so our guys, awesome, like, I mean, smoked 12, it out.
12 and chins is pretty good.
Yeah. So I was sitting there, like, it's pretty nice. Now we've gone to where I run conjugate style at Dyer County, to where our dynamic effort days are AMRAP days for our chin-ups, where we're just sitting there banking out as much as possible. But our max effort days, if we ever have, like, a total body, whatever, our chin-ups are going to be with weights. So it's cool.
Yeah, do y'all go lower upper?
I just now fixed it or tweaked it. It's lower upper total.
Okay. Yeah, we go total, even when we were doing the 4 day a week. And it was cool to last year Coach Donahoe came by from Good Pasture. I got to talk with him a little bit, and it was just so, because I was talking about our 4 day split, and we go explosive strength days, and it's, you're just talking about a dynamic effort and, like, your max effort, and you kind of go back and forth on those. It's the same idea for the athlete. It may be a little bit different recipe, a little bit different workout, but the same, it's all the same goal. Try and get them as powerful as possible, strong as possible, safe as possible, fast as possible, just a little bit different exercises.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of talked about a little bit of technology where you're at Liberty Creek. Talk to us about more. Do you, like, have VPT? Do you have GPS? What do you have?
So we just got GPS, which has been awesome. We just got it. So we've been using it in spring, and those guys are checking the chart every day that we put out. Who ran the fastest? Are they hitting max velocity? You know, at least 80%. Are they doing it on their off? So we got a few guys that go both ways. And the way that we do it in spring, they'll go only offense one day, only off defense the other day. But the guys that go one way obviously go offense or defense. But they're like, we had a kid that's a receiver that, you know, ran a bunch of routes on their offensive day, and their defensive day, they ran faster that day. I was like, how does that work? You know, it's definitely going to be a learning curve of trying to incorporate that. We really want to track the volume on them. Not only are they hitting their top speeds, but how are we running them into the ground? You know, if it's a two-way guy, I may have to take some reps off of running routes during their end year or their group or whatever. We're trying to figure out ways to use that. That's new to me. The VBT, completely brand new when I got there. No idea what I was doing. We were just talking to Carl Middleton. He's the one that designed our weight room, and we're trying to figure out, like, all right, how are we going to post the workouts? Because I did it at beach, I stayed on the TV, and they checked the chart, they put the percentage on, we're ready to rock and roll. So I was like, all right, how are we going to do this? And then we're like, let's get some iPads. I was like, awesome. I said, if we're going to get iPads, we need to get the only one that I knew at the time, VMAX Pro. I was like, we need to get some type of VBT. If we can get VMAX Pro, that'd be awesome. Like, done. I was like, all right, sweet. Now I got to learn how to use it. The easiest thing that I did was put the iPad up there, put the sensor on there, and just let them compete. Just let them put on whatever percentage that we told them to put on and who moves it faster. And they freaking love it. So that was the number one way. The number one reason that I used it was to drive intent first. And then I started thinking of a few different ways to use it. So we got to spring ball last year, and I started using some cutoff sets that I got from Coach Leach, Rhode Island. So we'll set the percentage, say it's 77.5. And then it's like, all right, as long as you hit 0.65 or better, you keep going. You know, some guys get 4 reps, some guys get 8 reps. You get to meet them where they're at for that day, of how strong they are that day. Because as you know, as a strength coach, you can be fired up to hit and get to 90%, and those kids have not slept, or they're having a bad day, or whatever. And before VBT or having the coach's eye to figure out really what tell them what to do, you know, they get pinned down or something that you thought they were going to blow up, and using that artificial intelligence at school. So we use it for, cutoff sets. We used it to drive intent. That's the easiest way to use it. We've used it for like a max. Coach Garacio at FAU, I saw him post something along the lines of, he actually wrote an article about it, but like putting on 90%, let him hit it, and take the speed and get a calculated 1 rep max instead of the old school, like how many reps you can do, and then taking the chart from the NSCA, like having reps to do, that's that percentage, and doing the math that way. You're in the AI right now, like what their max is to work off of. Cause that's the deal, right? Like the training is the most important part. Being able to figure out like how strong they are, and then be able to use those percentages or idea of what they should be doing that day for depending on the intensity and the volume, is huge. Instead of taking 45 minutes to get a 1 rep max, get that 90, let's move on. And that's what we did in December. So when we got back in January, we had an idea of what we could do, because especially after that long season, thankfully a long season, you know, I didn't feel comfortable just like letting them load it up. It's just, and in the past I wouldn't have cared, but just having that technology is different. Now, we don't do that all the time. You know, I think it's important to let them push themselves and see how strong they are. We do still work up to some heavy singles. Like when we max, a lot of times I'll just tell them that we're working up to heavy singles. Guys are feeling good, I'll give them a bonus set so they can go for a max or somewhere along those lines. Sometimes we'll do like, you know, the 5-3-1 is 5+, 3+, 1+. Sometimes I'll have percentages on there. Like say we work up to 90 for a single, 95 for a single. And then the next set I'll put 95% plus. So like you can choose, which is fun. And that's something in the past that I didn't do. I was so strict on what they were putting on, only so many reps. And then I realized that that's not going to be perfect for all 60 kids in there. So when you have like an AMRAP at the end of a bench or a squat, or you have like some open sets where you can kind of choose, it's made it much better for the kids, instead of just sticking to the plan that I had, because they're not all the same. They don't feel all the same every single day. And then we've used it for some like some weighted jumps, put it on the barbell, see how high they jump, the hex bar. One idea that I'm going to steal from Coach, I'm gonna get his name wrong. The first episode that you had for season 5, is it Coach Herschel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach, yeah. So, him talking about putting it on a PVC pipe, you know, we got those battle sticks, and I've used it with like a training bar, like a 15-pound bar, but even lighter with the training sticks. So to kind of get and see what they can do. I think that's a great idea as well. And then we got some charts that will kind of determine what we're working and why we're working it. So in the off season, it's mainly percentage based. It's a little bit higher volume. I do care about how fast they're moving the bar, but that's not the end all be all. In the preseason, in spring ball, in season, we're using the VBT to kind of tell us where we are that day. We'll start off at a certain percentage. Got to move it for a certain speed. And if it's fast enough, you can add next set. If it's not fast enough, you got to take off that set. And we're going to finish the exercise and the sets and the reps. But the VBT can kind of tell us, like, you know, if we're going to go somewhere between 70-75% for 4 sets of 3, and it's got to move 0.65 or faster, and they're not doing it that day, then they need to take it off because that's not 75% that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love VBT because it can kind of And I think Joey Garocho said it back in season three, I believe he was on. Season three, that we're trying to be snipers. You know, we're trying to be snipers with VPT. We're not trying to be like shotgun approach. We're trying to be snipers. And we're trying to pinpoint exactly, you know, where athletes are at that point. So great stuff, man. That technology is such a great thing when it's working properly. And I know
that's another thing I had to figure out. I had to figure out how to talk about like being stressed out during the workout. And you got 10 iPads out there and 4 of them ain't working. You got to figure it out. It was a learning curve for sure. And when I got it, I was like, I got to figure this out. And it didn't take long because, again, coaches put out so much good stuff. They share so much good stuff now. And it makes it easier to learn. But it's been fun. I really like it. I think it's really useful. Especially, it's super important, I think, for that in season. Anytime you're playing, I think it's a great way to meet the athletes where they are. Auto-regulate is what Mark Cooper said when he came and spoke last year also at our clinic. And, you know, he's the guru on all that stuff. For me, the VBT is not the end-all be-all. Like I said, in the off-season, it's there. We use it. But I'm going to push them a little bit more. We're going to pick the volume up. And so, if example for like in-season, off-season, in the off-season, where I use Pelican Start quite a bit. That helps me out a bunch. So we're going to try to hit the optimal rep range or a little bit over the optimal rep range in the squat and bench. And then we're going to try to be in the middle of the road of the rep range on the Olympic lifts. And then when it comes to the in-season stuff, we're going to be on the low rep range for the squat and bench, and some even a little bit lower on the Olympic lifts. But I think that's been a huge, huge thing for me too, to help me program.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Okay, let's start wrapping some things up. Let's go ahead and do conjugate coach spotlight. So is there any coach out there that you want to highlight or shout out in our industry?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. I take stuff from guys all the time. So I need to whenever I use some of their stuff, I try to give them a little bit of a shout out. I think Coach John Ho's trying to do a good job. I think he does a good job at Good Pasture. I think that's a young, hungry guy. I like him a bunch. Obviously the big college coaches that are always putting stuff out, Coach Garacio. I love Kurt Hester, Tommy Moffitt, Paul Jackson. Those are all guys that I really, really get a lot from. I would say there's one guy that he's not active on social media at all. Actually go to church with him, Coach Grawl over at Mount Juliet High School. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's got a lot of success. They got a great facility, and I know he does a good job with them. So Coach Grawl, I would say. That's just a few.
Awesome, Coach. Well, again, I want to thank you for taking the time and going through the trouble, the scheduling trouble. Did you do the original Doodle link that I sent out?
Yeah.
Went through Doodle, and then that completely like crapped out, and then had to send something else. And I appreciate you working with me in that kind of flexible schedule, man. And it's awesome, you know, kind of talk. I say this for, you know, several coaches, because I don't get to meet many people like during the school year, because, you know, we're in school, and the only time I get to really meet people is like at conferences or clinics, and, you know, to sit here and talk to you face to face, man, or I guess screen is completely awesome.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it. Honored to be on. You know, I was a little nervous to be on here because of so many good coaches that you've had on here. You mentioned season three when Coach Garacio came on. That was the first time that I heard of Conjugate Chats. Once I found it, I was all in on it, and I got to see listen to some of those coaches that I've seen work. And I feel like you're doing awesome stuff. I think I hope you keep blowing it up, because you're doing a good job for strength and conditioning as well.
I appreciate you, man. You know, from being a listener and now being a coach on the podcast, man, I do appreciate you, and, you know, listening in and, you know, delivering the heat on your episode as well, and what you're doing for strength conditioning and what you're doing over at Liberty Creek, man. This is completely awesome.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. And, you know, as a strength coach, you don't get to talk a lot of strength conditioning. Not a lot of people around you are going to be strength coaches as well, like you said, and, you know, see people at a clinic or you're doing your podcast. But so to get to talk strength and conditioning is awesome.
Absolutely, man. Well, that's another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Please stay strong and have a day today.